How many networks have all that nerd shit wrapped up in a neat little bow? DC Toy Power and Pokemon Go, the blazing defender for sure. Don't you dare change that channel, we've got breaking the panel. We are the Giant Size Team Up, nerd is what we know. If you want geeky podcasts, well, there's nowhere better to go. Oh yeah, and Botch Podcast.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
Welcome to Breaking the Panel, where we are all rocking some alcohol tonight. So it's going to be fast and loose, fun and furious here. I'm the Rock On Podcasting, Charles McFall. We're going to talk about some fandoms, some comic books, and some stick puck ice sports thingy thing, because you guys are morons and watching. I hate you, Phil. The man giving the thumbs up on the Patreon video, and you can't hear him giving the thumbs up in the podcast, is Phil Keating.
It's the Philadelphia salute. Hi.
And the man who always continues to surprise me by how much he actually not only likes, but understands all things acts of Paul Klotz. I mean, I thought you were more like me. The action category you are into is over on Pornhub and not so much on NHL. Yeah.
Hey man, you can have both up at the same time.
Yeah, listen, you know, after you nut, you got to have something else to watch, right?
Oh, I like honestly, I do not play a character. I don't hate sports. I just have zero connection at all. I've watched hockey.
Sports
I've watched
is
all
my life.
I just, that level of fandom, I misunderstand. But that's neither here nor there. We're going to talk about the geeky sci-fi comic book level of fandom.
No, wait. I have something to say. I don't watch normal season games of anything, really, unless I'm like stuck someplace. But I will watch the playoffs of any of the major sports, because it's always entertaining to see it when the stakes are high.
There is not a sport I do not watch.
Rugby?
Yeah, no, I've even been known to sit down and watch some cricket matches.
Well, Toy Power will be happy to hear that.
Well, not so happy, because cricket's not looking so good these days with the latest goings on. From
I have no idea. That is not what this show is all about.
No! This is breaking the panel. We're breaking right out of the panel, and we're going to talk about sports.
Chris, we should reformat the show.
Yeah. Chris is rolling in his grave right now.
Oh, too soon.
So let's talk about some shows that are on the chopping block again. Actually, on half of this list. Klotz, if you want a tag team, we can go back and forth. I'll take the first. Well, we're going to skip the actual first.
Tag team back again. Okay, I'm going to copyright infringe this.
Okay. Our favorite Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is up on the chopping block again. Now, here, for comparison, Arrowverse, including the outliers like Supergirl, who is newer, and Black Lightning, all of them have been renewed already. Supernatural's been renewed. iZombie, I think, is on this list, maybe. But most of the Arrowverse, all the Arrowverse and most of the other fandom shows have been renewed. Okay, so this is the comparison of what's going on with the major networks. ABC's Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It says, I like how it calls it DVR ratings. I wonder if DVR, Quirky Fingers, counts Hulu as well? Because it's
probably
a viewing. I would think so.
I'm not sure.
So its DVR has decent ratings. And it says, the author says, it'd be surprising if it gets cut without one final season to celebrate the series and end things properly. Okay, here's my stance on S.H.I.E.L.D. I force myself to keep up with it. Somehow, when they took a mid-season break with the Olympics and everything else, I got far enough behind that I've missed some episodes. Because I was, in the first half of this season, I was where they were. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but there's a certain place and time that they are. And then when I went to go, oh, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s back, I need to check it out. And I pulled it up on Hulu and went, I know I'd only seen 6 or 7 episodes, and the newest one on, or the oldest one on Hulu available right now is 12. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'll watch it. It was on Netflix. I don't care. What about you guys? You care about S.H.I.E.L.D.? You keeping up on S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No.
I'm not keeping up on it, but I do agree with that last blurb in the article here that I think if they are going to sunset it, they'll give it at least a half season and cap things off and just kind of end the whole experiment and then transition away. It probably needs to be done, though. The show's kind of bloated. I'm not current, but I do. It's been kind of all over the place. It's taken long. It took a while to find its identity, and then it's tried to like rebrand itself a number of times, and it's just like there's great character work there, though. So it's a good show. It's just not always super compelling.
Yeah, I will say where they landed in this current season, as far as what they're doing, took it back to its comic book roots 100%. It was more entertaining to me that way because it was very comic booky. I got to close Discord because it blooped. You didn't hear it, but it'll be on my recording. So now you know what I had in the background. But it's definitely more comic booky, more sci-fi. It felt more like Marvel. But even then, obviously, it didn't compel me enough to remember that it came back, because apparently when it came back, I missed some episodes and now I can't see them. And I'm that guy. Unless I just hate your show. I don't hate Arrow, okay? But I'm not compelled to watch Arrow, so I'll skip the Arrow episodes and watch the crossover. I don't need to build up. Supergirl, same way. I don't really care for Supergirl. I'll just watch the crossover. But Flash, in order. So unless I just hate your show, I got to watch it in order. So missing episodes makes me stop watching it. Phil, what's you got? You look like you're going to say something.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at their wiki, and their viewership has been constantly down since takeoff. You know, they opened up at 12 million.
Now, and this then is the death slot, too, by the way.
Well, yeah, but this is the show that won't die. So
yeah, that's true.
It's been constantly dropping episode by episode down to, I think the lowest it's gotten was 1.9, which is still decent ratings. I mean, I think that's what Parks and Rec was getting at the end.
But it's horrible ratings for ABC. I mean, those networks were at 8 and higher.
But I'm wondering, just by looking at the season overviews, if, you know, they're ordering 22 episodes a season.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's 90s, you know,
that's
era television.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I wonder if this show would have done better with just the normal 10 to 12 episodes cut out all the things.
Think about it, what you're saying. The one of the decent series that they had is the one I still hated, because they did 22, but the first half was all Ghost Rider. And it was a season unto itself in 12 to 13 episodes, and then they swapped it up and did the Darkhold, and that was a season to itself. More, and there was some bleed over, of course, but I was like, basically they did two seasons in one, and I hated that. I notoriously hated that second one, where, you know, the framework and all that jazz, but. You're right. It's too much. And
I mean, that's the problem that the X-Files had during the 90s. You know, if they would just get to the main plot and cut out all those monsters of the week for X-Files, it would have been a greater show. Now, I enjoy the old X-Files and all that razzmatazz. But for television, we are past that.
Yeah.
You know, we're past filler episodes.
Unless you do it right.
Well, yeah, but it's
difficult. I think you can have a few. You know what I mean? You can have a handful a season. So let's say you cut the season in half. You're looking for 10 to 12 episodes. You know, you might have a filler or two in there. Because sometimes you just need that pressure valve, right? Especially if you're building up a really heavy story. Even Game of Thrones has done that. You know what I mean? Game of Thrones has had episodes that were like, all right, things are getting real hot and heavy with the story here. Let's jump over to this other place and kind of catch you up what's going on elsewhere in the world. And you're going to get a bit of a breather. And then by the end of the season, everything ramps up and we're there. You know what I mean? I agree with Phil, though. Like, 22 episodes is insane in this day and age. Like, that's for an hour-long show. That's a lot of content, and that's a lot of just filling time, especially for a superhero show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think one of the biggest complaints that has always been had about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is that it's a MCU adjacent show that doesn't have enough of what makes the MCU great in it to keep people's interest.
Yeah.
And I think if you had a smaller order, you probably could have achieved that a little more readily. You know what I mean? Like, you probably could have had better cameos and everything and done some more actual hero focused stories once in a while. Maybe not for the entire season, but you know, but yeah, no, it's got to be an expensive show too with all the special effects. So,
Especially this last season. Yeah. And I want to say, when you talk about filler episodes, all I got to say, Supernatural crossover with Scooby-Doo for their filler episode this year.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God, it's so good. So good. Don't give me that look, Phil. Me and Dennis are...
Well, it was animated though, wasn't it?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it's straight up like a crossover Scooby-Doo. Like they...
Yeah, which was... That was a cool angle, yeah.
Yeah, that's intriguing. I mean, I'll never watch it because, well, I'm not a 13-year-old girl, but... That's an awesome concept, though.
It was
change pace and all that.
And the thing is, that's how Supernatural does it, is once a season, they'll drop in an episode that has nothing to do with anything. It's just silly. It's goofy, fun. One of the notorious ones they did was they thought he was a trickster, but he actually was Archangel Gabriel. He put him in a TV show. And so they kept going through TV shows and doing that. One was they got pulled out of their own TV show into the real world. So they're interacting with the actors who play, you know, the characters, and it was fun. They did a horror movie one. It's always fun when they do their meta show where it breaks up that tension. It's really cool. But that's neither here nor there. They've been renewed already. So you know,
of course,
because I am a 13.
Because that show is going to go on for 20 years.
Oh God, yes. All right, Klaus, why don't you take this next one? Phil, you can hit the one after. No, we're going to skip that one. Phil, you're going to get...
What's another show that kind of failed to capture the magic of its source material at times, but...
You mean the one that maybe kind of disrupted everything we loved about the character, didn't even put the character really in the show?
It would be none other than Gotham.
I thought you were talking about How I Met Your Mother.
That's fair.
Definitely. How I Met Your retcon, you mean? yeah. So, fourth season of Gotham experienced a ratings drop of about 20% from season three.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Would that be a big number?
Yeah, that is a real big number. when you're talking ratings, absolutely. That's a huge number. So that's pretty big. And so, you know, it's probably pretty 50-50 on whether it comes back or not, I would think. I think this is another opportunity to take your show and wrap it up. You know what I mean? Unless they have plans to do something that's going to be absolutely incredible. But, you know, I got to say, I think part of the problem for Gotham is they have to parallel all of, you know, the relative failure that the DCEU films have suffered. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Like, that taints people, you know? And so, like, the general audience will get down on DC as a overall property, and then they're not going to be as excited to watch Gotham. You know what I mean? And yeah. So, and especially because there's, you know, not really, there's not much of the classic Batman DNA in the DCEU at the moment. It got a little bit better with Justice League, but it's still like it's a bit of a reach for a lot of people. I think if this show had been out and was at the quality that it's generally at while Nolan's trilogy was going on, it would have been gangbusters. You know what I mean? It would have been huge. People would have been all about this.
Yeah. Because
it is a really interesting take on the Batman setting. But they've also kind of they've scrambled it all. You know what I mean? Like they've really played around with that world.
That's what Chris hated the most about it was, you know, you have Bruce Wayne as a kid, but then you have all his known enemies as young adults to not so young adults. And it's like, what, you know, is Batman going to go up against a 60-year-old penguin, you know, type of deal? Here's what I do enjoy it. I am in season three, I think.
Season three is where it gets kind of wild.
I think I'm in season three. I haven't been following on Netflix. I never got into it in the first place because honestly, my same complaint when they first announced it is still the same complaint now. How are you going to do a show about Batman without Batman? It bothers me. But it's okay. It's interesting enough. It doesn't captivate me. But there was a character that everybody went, no, that's the Joker. And every showrunner, every director, everybody associated with that show was like, no, it's not Joker. We're not doing Joker. We're not doing Joker. And now to get interest up in the fifth season, they're teasing the reveal of the Joker. And, of course, the pictures, now I don't know if this is CW or rather WB releasing this information or if it's just fan ideas, but the character that everybody knew was a Joker before, who obviously was played like the young Joker and had the damage and all this other stuff going on, minus the acne, you know, chemical plant, that's the picture they're using to tease the Joker. And it's, I don't know. Here's the thing about the article, though. It says, even with this dip in ratings, it's still in the top 10 for Fox. So,
well, that might keep it around.
Yeah.
It's another show, though, that's 22 episodes long. Or, you know, first season.
Really?
So it's just like, I'm not surprised. I mean, a show that is all about the Batman villains, the greatest thing that is... The most thing I love about Batman is the villains. It's just like,
okay,
the reason I like Spider-Man is because he's got this whole book of villains. Mm-hmm. So there's no reason that this show should have been on the chopping block and had such a huge rating dropping. I think they missed just a huge opportunity. Once again, cut it down to 12 episodes. Now I've never watched the show, so I can't talk too much about it. But if I was running it, I would take each season and devote an entire villain to that season.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then move on to a different villain and maybe have it during the same time period. And then when you're finally ready to crescendo your show, all these stories of different villains come together. But I'm an apple farmer in Pennsylvania, not a... executive for Fox.
That might I'm not saying that what they did didn't work. I mean, obviously it's still in the top 10 for that network, but that might could have worked. They had the commish. I could have told you his name until I tried to tell you his name. The Shield. Michael
Douglas.
No. Bald guy, commish, the Thing in the first Fantastic Four and second Fantastic Four.
It starts with a C.
Everybody's yelling at us. I can't think of it. They had him on. They had him in for most of the season I'm watching, and he just chewed scenery. It was like, you are
Michael Chiklis.
Chiklis. Thank you. It's like, you are way too talented to be here. And because of the style of show, they had him overacting on purpose. You know, over really being, because I've seen him as a commission, I've seen him as the badass on the Shield. You can see he can do subtle. He can do all kind of stuff. And they just had him over the top. You know, kind of 90s comics. What are you laughing at? Are y'all memeing each other again? Oh, my God. Every show, these two morons find the best stupid memes to each other. Make each other laugh.
We're professionals.
You are. All right. Now, Phil, scroll down to the next ABC show that is on the chopping block.
Oh, I don't think I need to scroll down. I could probably guess.
Go ahead, guess.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, apparently Inhumans might be canceled.
Dun, dun, dun.
You might be saying to yourself, Philip Keating,
this is not my house.
This show was not canceled already. And I would say, you're right. I thought it was too. I don't even think the actor's parents watched this program.
And wait, it premiered with a 0.9 rating. Holy crap. And we all watched it for the show, and it still only hit 0.9.
I gotta go finish watching that first season because I have to see it before it gets archived.
I totally keep forgetting it's up there.
Because you know Disney's gonna like vault it and be like, no.
Hopefully they'll burn all the hard
copies. This never happened. Yeah. Like this didn't we no. The Inhumans were on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the rest never happened.
Is there a worse
adaptation in the last?
I think it's honestly
Fantastic.
I was gonna say
for television, but
okay.
I was gonna say the Fantastic Four movie from the 90s is on par as being so colossally bad.
It's bad. I'm a guy who likes to love stuff, and I'm sitting here going, yeah. It's hurt.
I love the Inhumans. I like the royal family. I wanted to love it. You know what I mean? Like, I dig those characters, and I think the casting was largely fine. It's just that the story and the writing was so bad. So bad.
It felt like it literally had no point. It was almost villain of the week, except the villain was the storyline.
It was the writers.
Yeah, basically. It was.
That's going to be the kind of shit that those writers don't even put on their IMDb page.
It makes Transformers look Oscar winning.
Oh, get out of here. Nice try.
No, that's horrible. Chances of returning are slim to none. And, Klotz, you got excited about this last piece of news that might be the nail in the coffin. I'm going to let you take it.
Yeah, so Anson Mount, who is Black Bolt, was cast as Captain Christopher Pike on Discovery. So that has some awesome implications for the future of Discovery, which will be exciting. And it also probably means that this is dead. That, I mean, he's main cast. Like, he's the king. The King of the Inhumans has been recast. Well, not recast, but has been cast onto a different show. We don't know how reoccurring Pike is going to be at this time on Discovery, but it's a possibility that it becomes a major part of it. So
we'll see. I don't want them to get renewed.
For what purpose?
A weekly dumpster fire to look at. It'd be like a Yule log, but, you know, every week. So I didn't watch anything. I don't have time for Gotham or Inhumans. And I gave Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a chance. You know, I watched 24 episodes and I just, it's a shame. I mean, there's so much good television right now.
Oh, that's ultimately the problem. I mean, this is such a saturated market. And none of these shows are performing particularly well, at least the ones we're talking about. So the last one on the list here is, I hope it gets another season because I really enjoy this show, but it is a different, you know, it's got a very different vibe. But iZombie over at CW. The only problem with CW is, as I just said, saturated. They have all of these super successful DC shows right now. A shared universe among them that is working out really well for them, even when it slips, when we talk about like how bad Arrow was at one point. But iZombie, looking at getting its fourth season, or no, its fourth season just premiered, but it managed to basically break even. It's kept its audience, but hasn't really grown. The fandom here is saying that they're not sure which way it could go either way. But one thing to keep in mind is another season would mean they'd have enough episodes for syndication, which is something that CW's been known to do in the past. So I think that's probably a strong bet, is like they're already just a season away. And the show, because the show is a police procedural at its core with, you know, the zombie supernatural angle kind of worked in.
Yeah.
I think it works as a syndicated show that you can, you know, throw onto all the various networks. You know what I mean? So if they only make it the one more season, it's still a good run. It's a great show. I enjoy it. It's not the best show on TV, but it's fun. It mocks itself. Well,
CW seed, I think.
Yeah. I think, well, syndication is the goal. You know what I mean? Like, so you do one more season, it's done, and then it'll be reruns on like your TBS and TNTs and all those other, you know what I mean? Which is fine.
Now this would actually fit right behind Rizzoli and Isle on TNT. Yeah. You know, it would. Now let me answer me this, because I watched most of the first season with my daughter because she's into zombies, and her thing being at the time she was 8, I guess, when the first season came out. She just, being that young, forgets TV exists. You know? Sure. Oh, I keep forgetting about that show. And she just, it didn't catch her enough. It didn't catch me enough to watch it without her. But the only question I have is, we saw a commercial the other day, and some of it got really cheesy, like the D&D episode where, you know, she takes on the host role. Yeah, it looked funny but weird. But are zombies like a known thing in this universe now? Are they, except like True Blood has vampires?
Eventually it's starting to become like the government knows now.
Okay, because it looked like from the commercials I saw the other day, because we watched through the CW app, the Supernatural, and we see all that commercials for their shows. It looked like there's like a brain factory or something. Like, oh, is this a thing now? Which I don't have a problem with. I was just curious.
So I watched the third season, and basically, there were zombie elements in the government, in the military, and in the government, and so they're trying to find a way to arrive at a future where they could kind of come out and be like, oh, hey, by the way, we exist and we have a sustainable model for surviving that doesn't involve murdering all of you. And so that was one of the questions, you know, that's one of the big questions is kind of the back and forth. And of course, Ravi is trying to develop a cure still. So there's all of that. But yeah, it's the show's a little wacky. I'll tell you, you know, one of the things about the show though is, it has its emotional moments. It has some great writing. Like there are some episodes that are really heavy and they're really punchy. And it's, you know, it's got some relationship melodrama in it, but a lot of it feels very legitimate. You know what I mean? Like it's not super melodramatic that is to an extent that doesn't feel like real life. You know what I mean? It yeah. feels legitimate. So I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like no matter what your sexual orientation, there's a tremendous amount of eye candy on that show. In every direction. So I think that's one of the things that helps it out, and it doesn't hurt to watch it for that reason. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It's palatable and it's entertaining and it's got beautiful people. And I think that's why it's going to get another season. So it'll hit syndication.
You just described every show on the CW.
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. Listen, if the CW literally just farms shows out until they hit syndication and fills them with decent writing and decent stories, and they're not like top shelf, I'm fine with that. Like that's a reasonable goal.
Yeah, you know what?
It's entertainment. You know what I mean? It's not the kind of thing that you're going to be like, oh my god, I got to watch the new episode of iZombie this week because I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. But like when was the last time you heard of a show on CW? Someone went, oh my God, that was hot trash. Don't ever watch that like Inhumans.
They've been pretty good.
I've never heard that about CW.
Even Arrow, when Arrow was at its worst, it was mostly that people were pissed off with story directions and the hokiness at times, not so much with the overall, you know, gist of the project itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, Hockey Boy, you put in this headline here about
Well, now's a good time for him to talk because we're on commercial break.
Oh, good.
I think the game is on break. Well, recently we talked about the mystery surrounding Stan Lee and how he disappeared from the limelight and all his caretakers were fired. A little bit of light has been shined onto that, but still there's much confusion about what's going on with Stan. It has come out kind of unofficially that his daughter is kind of marionetting Stan around, but is she really? Because, the Hollywood Reporter article that I read, was written in that style that his daughter, is it CJ or JC?
JC.
Was really taking advantage of Stan, and once Stan's wife passed away is when everything started to spiral out of control. And they talked about past altercations that she's had with her mom and dad, mostly verbal with some physical abuse, but nothing was ever reported or documented. But then as I was reading it and talking to Paul, Paul informed me that Stan put out a short video today.
Yeah, he put out a short video today addressing this Hollywood Reporter article directly because it's written by Gary Baum, who is a lawyer that he had hired temporarily. And he, it's actually at the bottom. It's linked at the bottom of this article. So basically, he said that, you know, his relationship with his daughter is fine. It's never been better. His relationship with his friend Kaya Morgan is fine. That these accusations aren't accurate. They're not, you know, because we've been talking about this for a little while, you know, that this elder abuse accusation, this, you know, manipulating and exhausting his resources. And I mean, to read it, there's been a couple articles put out about this. People have been saying that his daughter's been leeching off of them for a long time. If any of that's accurate, it seems like their 67-year-old daughter has probably literally never, like, fended for herself. It seems.
That's how I got from the Hollywood Reporter article.
And, you know, his estate is estimated to be worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars. So it's not, in, you know, unsubstantial or inconsequential. But he did put out a video where he said he's fine. It also seems like there's a second video here that says he has macular degeneration.
Yeah.
So
then there's a dark web video where he's just saying, help me.
Yeah. See, I mean, these videos are getting put out and they're being posted. And I'm sorry, I don't believe that Stan is posting these videos on the internet.
Did he? Well, Klotz, did he seem under duress or like something that...
Well, that's when I watched the first one. He doesn't really seem like he's under duress. He doesn't seem like he's being coached.
Well,
he seems upset.
Right.
But in a way that I expect a man of his age to express that he's upset, you know, be a bit emotional.
I thought you were saying a way you would expect a life model decoy to express.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. No, I mean, he seems coherent.
It just doesn't feel right to me.
I'm sure it's not this simple. You know what I mean?
And I'm sure that my attitude towards this was swayed by the, let's be honest, TLDR goddamn Hollywood Reporter article that I read. It was probably... Well,
here's the other thing, though. It's entirely possible that his daughter's taking advantage of him and kind of controlling things and everything, but it's also entirely possible that Stan's just tired and wants that to be what goes down.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously it's still possible that even if she was taking advantage, maybe he's just like, I don't care if she's my daughter, leave her alone. I chose this.
Well, and that's a valid thing. People, you know, do that all the time. I mean, people who are the parents of kids who, like, people who have murdered people have been like, I don't care, that's still my kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, there's something there that's kind of undeniable. It sounds shitty. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like he's being necessarily having all of his needs addressed the way they maybe should be. But I don't know that any of us really get to have a say in that. You know what I mean?
No, you're right.
No, we absolutely don't get a say in that.
Yeah.
At all.
I think it's great that, you know, comic fans around the world are expressing love and concern. It's a tough situation. I think one of the craziest things I saw today is Kevin Smith offered to let Stan come live with him. And the thought of Kevin and his family taking care of aging Stan Lee is like the sweetest idea in my mind ever.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, that's such a beautiful thought. I don't think in a million years it'll happen, but crazier things have happened, you know, I mean. But yeah, I don't know. I hope he's being taken care of. What clouds matters like this always is the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If he's broke, it'd be a different conversation.
Right. And the fact is, every day that he lives, his potential to generate more income persists. You know what I mean? This isn't just somebody who is sitting on a pile of money and has been sitting on that same pile that's been slowly dwindling for years. This is somebody who continues to earn. Now, I did see some commentary. Some people were saying that they'd really like to see the convention circuit stop booking him, basically, because it's pretty clear that he's not in great health. You know?
Yeah. I avoided him at Dragon Con, to be honest, because I'd heard. I mean, going into it, we knew he'd lost his wife earlier in the year. We knew he had canceled some cons because he'd been sick, but he confirmed Dragon Con. And I'm like, yeah, I've been in the field of medicine long enough to know this is not going to play out the way you want it to. And sure enough, I knew Dunaway. Brian Dunaway is one of them. They paid their $60 or whatever, went in, and they say, you know, don't – basically, I don't remember exact quote, but it's like, don't look him in the eye, no sudden movements kind of deal. And he goes in, he says, Stan sitting there in a chair and just goes, hello. And he turns, and you pose, takes a picture, and you move on. And he said it was worth it for him. It was a moment of a lifetime just to have that moment, you know. Mm-hmm. But to be real, you know, it was very non-energetic, and, you know, he seemed like an old man who wasn't feeling well. And that's not how I want to remember Stan Lee, you know? And so I agree. Let's
not, and I thought it was,
let's keep him out of the cons.
I thought it was kind of ballsy on their part to put a 94-year-old Stan Lee in the hot Atlanta.
Yeah.
In early September, it was just like, oh boy. But
in Concord Central.
Sure. Yeah.
Any Connie?
Well, that's the biggest thing, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So even if you don't physically touch him, you know what I mean? Because that seems to be, as you just described, it's like, go stand next to Stan, but don't touch Stan. Like Stan's like a porcelain doll at this point. Don't touch him. Don't look directly at him. Don't breathe on him.
Yeah.
Don't breathe at him. Concord is a real thing. Like, perfectly healthy people get really sick after cons. You know what I mean? And it's a very common thing to have happen because you've got hundreds of thousands of people mingling, you know what I mean, in one place. And let's be honest, fandom is not entirely full of people with the best hygiene or the best health.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So it's a thing. And it's like, I feel like every time he does a con, it's just hugely dangerous to him. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically playing Russian roulette with sickness. And the worst thing in the world would be for Stan to go do a con and then come home, get pneumonia or something like that, get really sick and pass. That would feel, you know, terrible. And I bet everybody who patroned him and got pictures and stuff taken with him that last time, like, some of them would be very selfish and be like, yeah, I got it in before he died. And it'd be like, you're an asshole. Yeah. Like, you cared more about, you know, memorializing that 10 seconds that you spent in his presence than you do about the fact that him being there put his life at risk and ultimately he would, you know, potentially lose it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a complicated issue, and, you know, obviously none of us have a real clear picture of what's going on. The only thing I can hope is local authorities where he lives out in California are aware of, you know, what's going on. They've at least looked into it and try to check on his well-being. But again, with somebody with this kind of wealth and influence, you're not necessarily subject to the same things that everybody else is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Money can make the wellness check go away and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Let me just tell you, when it comes to families, you think from watching TV, there's so much you can do. There's just not hardly anything you can do. I mean, to the point, just a brief little example, to the point that if you're going through a very ugly divorce, but both of your names on the checking account and you decide to take all the money, this happened to a friend of mine because I've never been divorced, but they're like, in the same bank, they changed the account so they'd have their own separate account. He went into her account. Well, he had the number. Oh, well. Sorry, y'all are still married. Oh, well. And he stole money from my friend because he's a douchebag that way. And there was nothing the law could do, nothing the banks would do.
Yeah.
There's just so much that won't get done that you look as a human being going, how is that possible? It just is.
Yep. I don't know, but I feel like this is going to get a lot messier before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hope not. I hope that just.
Nobody wants it to be.
Right. I hope he lives another 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Happily. That's not going to happen. Like,
happily. Well, speaking of other not so great news, apparently there's a headline that feels like, hey, did you hear about TJ Miller? Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, this one's going to be a little bit of a train wreck.
Like, TJ Miller?
So everybody, you know, knows that TJ Miller had a wonderful part in Deadpool. And
Deadpool 2.
And will reprise his role in Deadpool 2. He recently left Silicon Valley and didn't have that much nice things to say about them and how he was going on to bigger and better things, like the Emoji Movie. But
or Ready Player One.
That's true. He was fun in Ready Player One, and I'm so hot and cold on him because in real life he is a giant dick.
Oh, I gotta imagine he's just like his characters, because that's one of the things when you really go, oh, that's a great character, is because that person's probably like that character, and he seems like he plays a dick very well because he's probably a dick.
Well, this dick just got picked up by the FBI for calling in an alleged fake bomb threat from an Amtrak train.
From the train?
Well, kind of. Kind of. So he is accused of convoying with law enforcement false information about an explosive device.
And now, my pants.
So he got picked up, I believe, at LaGuardia Airport in New York, and then posted bond of $100,000 right away. But he called in a bomb threat on a train that was traveling to D.C. from New Jersey.
Was he?
Well, he.
I don't understand. Was he on the train from D.C.? I don't know.
No. Yeah, it seems like he was on. Phil, if I'm walking all over here, let me.
No. Take it.
It seems like he was on. He was traveling on Amtrak train 2258, and he had called it in about 2256. And it also seems that he may have been intoxicated.
Oh, he was drunk.
Yeah, he was super drunk. Yeah, and that he was in hostile exchanges with a woman who was sitting in a different row from him in the first class car. So it seems like he might have gotten pretty toasted, and I'm not sure if he called this in as like a vindictive thing or if he called it in because his, you know, comprehension was muddled by all of the booze that was in him. But, oh man, this is bad.
Well, his drunken prank might cost him 5 years up into prison. So
yeah, I don't think he's going to get 5 years.
No, he should, but he won't.
Well, I don't even know that he necessarily should. He's probably going to get slapped with a bunch of stuff, public intoxication, among other things.
Yeah, that gets you nothing. I have a few of those.
But he's gonna take a hit on this no matter what. But
now that's the question: how much, because of the characters he plays and the style of humor he has, how much will this actually affect his career? Other than if he actually goes away, it'll derail his career for the time he's incarcerated. Is he a Charlie Sheen where he's still going to have fans and you can still do tours around the country and sell out theaters? I mean,
well, he's not as established as Charlie Sheen was when Charlie Sheen went off the fucking deep end.
Do you think this? I mean, would this derail him from being in Deadpool 3, or would we care?
Well, if there is a Deadpool 3, we'll
shut your fucking mouth.
I'm sure he won't get cast in the Emoji Movie 2. But I mean, I hear that he's just a pain in the ass to work with and kind of a dick.
Well, he left IT Crowd over quote unquote creative differences.
Silicon Valley.
Not the IT Crowd. Yeah. Yeah. No, he didn't leave the IT Crowd. That's a British show from several years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say. But
a much better British show, actually.
But yeah, I mean,
I just shut Phil down.
God. Phil doesn't agree with you.
But he burnt every bridge he could when he was leaving Silicon Valley. So it's just like, you know, you got one big movie shot with Deadpool and you think you're the king of the world. So I I love everybody on Silicon Valley so much. And I love the show. I believe it's actually my favorite show on HBO right now. And so
some other shows on HBO right now.
Yeah.
Westworld, Game of Thrones.
That's not on right now. It's not on
right now. Oh, right now. Westworld, Game of Thrones, Vice Principals.
So you like it better than Westworld?
Ballers.
In Game of Thrones?
Yeah. I mean, I figured out what was going on in Westworld 5 episodes before they ended.
But there's the way they told the story that was interesting.
Slowly?
Yeah. Dude, don't you even talk, Mr. Lord of the Rings, Gimli.
And the last season of Game of Thrones was hot shit. So it's just like, this is the show that's still producing good content for me.
Wow.
So I've got a little bit of,
saltiness in your
eyes. Yeah, I'm very salty. And I hope he goes to prison for 5 to 10 years.
So 5 to 10 years? You're doubling his sentence?
I don't know, maybe 25. We'll see.
I hope he goes to prison in Philly. Then you just have to live with him in your backyard the whole time.
How do you know that I live right up next to a prison in Philadelphia?
I Googled you.
Because there's prisons everywhere in Philadelphia. Yeah, that's fair.
It's like Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, Australia is just a giant prison.
Yeah.
Australia is just a giant Philadelphia.
Australia is not real. Pilots are in on the scam. Yeah. That tripped me out so bad when you posted that. I love when you're mocking flat earthers and and people who are ridiculous. Paul, that's not Paul being ridiculous. Paul's the one who mocks him. That's being
clear. Oh yeah.
So, trying to think of how the fun lead up to this one, but let's just jump in. Do we think a Scarlet Witch solo film would work?
It could.
It could, but I don't think we've set it up to work yet.
Agreed.
I think it would need another character or two in it.
Well,
not so, because it's female, but because I think multiple characters work.
Oh, well. Yeah, she definitely needs a strong male to carry the film.
Oh, shit. See? I knew it.
As long as they're white.
Oh, no!
God damn it.
Okay. Yeah, oh, man. Real talk. One of our listeners hit me up yesterday and was like, so I just got to the part where you guys said something to Charles and he screamed. And I had to, he goes, I laughed so hard at that. And I was like, I live for that scream.
I hate you guys.
So I just wanted to thank you for making my evening because you did it yet again.
I just need Just Add Water Cat to write in and say how much, how awesome I am. You know, he knows me. He was at our panel last year. He taught Ethan, come on, man, help me out. Because these guys are giving me this,
oh, yeah.
This racist bullshit.
He's raw, man. He needs some help.
I do.
Help a brother who doesn't like brothers out.
Oh, back to you.
No, all right. All joking aside, Scarlet Witch, my big issue so far is I think Lizzie Olsen is great. Okay, I'm going to say that. I think she's a decent actress. You know, she's very charismatic. I think she can carry it. She's really found her feet with the few scenes that she's been given in the MCU so far, outside of that first film where they were using her as just a, you know, a really bad Eastern European stereotype. But I don't think we've had enough development yet. So unless Infinity War is absolutely insane for Scarlet Witch as a character arc, and somebody's left around to team up with her in a movie, I'm not sure that, you know, the legs are there. However, I will say that one of the things she said is that it's possible that there could be a X-Men crossover type thing.
See, House of M.
I don't know if they would do House of M, but we'll see. They might do something close to it, but.
Well, okay, here's my only issue with it. Not House of M, but her solo film and the character in general is – we know I haven't read a ton of comics, but what I've read, she's one of the most powerful beings in the universe because she's chaotic magic. She can't necessarily control it. Things happen. Hence House of M, where she did the thing that she did. I can't remember if that's where No More Mutants came from or what, but stop memeing each other and listen to me. I'm saying important shit.
Oh, we're not memeing. Oh, we're not.
But no,
Phil's very upset right now and I'm smiling at it.
But I just feel like she had the power to change the universe in the comics. Here, there's not enough chaos in her magic, and it's mostly just throwing magic laser orbs at people, which is fine, but it's not what I want Scarlet Witch to be.
Yeah, but the kind of magic that you're talking about from the comics is, I mean, she's considered, like, in Japanese terms, she's like SS rank, you know what I mean? Like, she's...
Yeah,
she's high. Obscenely powerful to the point where she can literally reshape reality, and that's really tough to put into a film. Like,
but she can't control it, and you could put that in where she's not reshaping the universe, but
what I'm talking about is like something on that scale is really hard to show in film and have it be meaningful.
I guess I got what you're saying. Go ahead.
I wish this article would have come out after Infinity War came out.
Right.
Because this could, you know, this movie could show you her abilities. She could grab some crazy cosmic shit and just get super amped with her powers. But also the article just says she would love to do it. I'm sure she would. You know, everybody wants a nice cushy job at Marvel and Disney. But I mean, real talk. I would love a Scarlet Witch. I mean, I would love a Black Widow movie first. Mm-hmm. And I think that Johansson has put her time. We have a nice semi backstory on her, you know. And I would like to dive deeper into that. before we got a Scarlet Witch movie. But I would also like to see this Quicksilver from the X-Men series become her new brother and just have it like Quicksilver never died. So,
yeah, that would be interesting. You know, so I felt like we kind of got a taste of what a Black Widow film would be in Winter Soldier, where she's teaming up with Cap. And I thought that helped the Cap movie. He needed a strong female lead who was redheaded. That's an ethnicity, right? Redheads. And so she was a ginger and she helped carry the film. But I really thought that that was a good balance. And I liked when, you know, in any of the Marvel shows on Netflix where they bring in another character, it just adds energy to it. So I didn't really care for the first Captain America film, being that he was the only one in it. And even Iron Man, to me, is not as good as the ones that have multiple characters in them. And that's just my personal take on it.
You're not wrong. I mean, she was the best, if not one of the second best things in Winter Soldier. And the relationship that they had there was magical.
Yeah.
And then we got to Age of Ultron, and it was as if they were two high school kids at a dance that were too awkward to talk to each other. And it just, that didn't go film to film. So it kind of, you know, lost a little luster for me.
Yeah. I get that. And her and Hawkeye always have this chemistry, and it was like Mogadishu, or it's like blah, blah, blah. I'd love to see the two of them in their former days doing, you know, some of the stuff that built up to the new films.
Yeah. Now,
you know, mm-hmm. But Scarlet Witch, what would we do with that movie? I mean, what kind of story would
we tell? I think it's hard to speculate anything right now until we see the conclusion of Infinity War.
That's fair.
We got to see what comes to pass and where we're at. You know, I mean, in the past, we've done speculation. Like, we did speculation before Age of Ultron came out, and we couldn't really have imagined how Age of Ultron was going to play out. We couldn't have imagined how Civil War was going to play out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We had an idea of what we thought would happen, but every time you're wrong, you know what I mean? There's always a twist or a turn.
Right.
That you maybe didn't anticipate. So I have no idea what's going to come out of Infinity War. It's such a big deal.
Scarlet Witch, Jubilee, buddy movie.
Hell yeah. I'm down. 100%. I'm there. Can we get Dazzler in the mix?
Yeah, why not? It'll be like the sisterhood of the traveling sparkles. All right, swing and a miss. You know, they all can't be great.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Sparkles is pretty good.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here real quick, put in a nice little thing for you to listen to. And let Phil lose his mind over hockey and Paul playing with his Dazzler in public. It's a little embarrassing. We'll be back after this.
I don't want to grow up, I'm a BTP kid. There's so many things I get when I patronage, like Discord and YouTube and exclusive panels. It's the greatest Patreon there is. I don't want to grow up, because if I did, I wouldn't be a BTP kid. Support the show over at patreon.com/breakingthepanel.
All right, we're back. Hope you enjoyed that slight moment of tranquility that Phil brought you. We're going to talk about some STD right now. We're going to do a little discussion of the STDs. Star Trek Discovery. It's, you know, I loved everything about it until the last episode. And if you haven't seen it, it's been out long enough. I don't know if it'll be spoilery, but you just tread with caution, assuming that we might spoil something for you here. I thought it was shot beautifully. I thought some of the stories were very interesting. I loved their twists and I'm trying to stay out to spoiler territory, but some of the questions even Chris brought up earlier, where he and I were arguing about different character motivations, all of a sudden got answered with some major storylines. I went, oh, well, now that makes sense. And Chris was like, oh, yeah, I'm good. But that last scene of the last episode, well, they kind of wrapped up everything in a nice tight package, which I'm not a fan of. You're looking like you're about to watch some shit go down, Phil.
No. I actually haven't
seen the last episode. I forgot about watching.
I read the show notes of STD discussion, and I brought all the wrong notes with me to this section.
Yeah, you can put your medical file away.
Yeah, no, I will. I certainly will. But I also, I've said this before in the show, I'm not a Star Trek person, and I have only seen season one of Next Generation.
Oh, well, the worst season.
I know, it is the worst. And I enjoyed
it. It got better every season after that.
I enjoyed season one. I had a lot of fun with it. But I just found out from Googling STDs and then re-Googling Star Trek Discovery that one of my favorite comedians, Tig Notaro, is coming on to Star Trek Discovery in season two. So,
oh, neat.
CBS All Access is now going to get all my money until the season's done, and then I'll cancel it.
Like everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of messy, and it was messy, man. The entire season, there was just, it was very non-Star Trek-y in what we know now, right? Because this was the early days. This was, you know, telling some of the story of what happened. That apparently there's been some retconning, or people are saying it's an alternate universe. I see it as a standard military operation of, hey, as history goes on, we want to be remembered as the good guys because we're the good guys now. So we're going to kind of hide the stupid shit under the rug, and we're not going to tell you about stuff. So I don't think it's a retcon or an alternate universe at all. I think it's very much a, hey, this is a story that they will never tell you. You just kind of get to see it play out. It was very interesting, man.
Well, I mean,
the way they handled it was good.
So it's no mystery that Mirror Universe is part of the plot of the first season.
All right, I didn't know if that was a mystery or not.
It's been talked about pretty widely. It's been referenced pretty much everywhere. If you are spoiled by that, I'm sorry, dude. You're not a big enough fan. Like, I'm not saying you have to have watched every episode. I don't want to give you the entire plot run, but
yeah.
Mirror Universe is part of it. People were trying to argue that it was Mirror Universe before all of that, and it's just no. And I agree with you, Charles. I think that this show is exploring a time in Starfleet's past when things weren't so necessarily noble. You know what I mean? And it's the time of the Klingon War, and that's, you know, a story that should be told. You know what I mean? People are interested in it. Not everybody's going to agree with it. And you know what? You cannot portray the Federation as being purely innocent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I mean, if anything, if you've watched the other Star Trek films and television shows over the years, a common thread is sometimes various captains and officers have decided to do a thing despite it not meeting Starfleet protocol, despite it not necessarily being the quote-unquote right thing to do at the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, so there's repercussions to that. And when you're in the midst of a war, there's going to be some ugliness and some darkness and some, you know, non-traditional Star Trek stories. And I dig it. I think it's great. I think by the end of the season, it really, really came around and started telling some truly, truly interesting stories.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the most captivating character to me, and of course I'm horrible with names, but was the chief of engineering who ends up being the power cell for what they need to do.
Oh, that's not the chief engineer. That's Stamets.
What is he then? He was head of research. He was at that project. Yeah. Right.
He's a he's an astral mycologist.
Yeah. I was just picturing the bay they were in. It was like an engineering bay. I knew he was the head of it. You're right though. He's not chief engineer. He was the head of that special project, but yeah, the relationship arc, the everything, the evolution of that character had me hooked.
A couple of truly soul-crushing moments too.
Yeah, and you know then, I mean? Then there's some questions to be asked about: did this happen or did it not happen? And you know, the main character, the Vulcan. I mean, she wasn't mad, but it's like, okay, I can follow her. Like, you follow her through the whole story. That's who you're following. But Tilly was one of the best side characters there was, you know. Mm-hmm. The side characters actually.
Tilly's a big fan favorite.
Other than the romantic interest, was, I hated him. I hated everything about him.
I think his story is one of the more interesting stories to be told. I think we'll see where it goes, though.
It's okay. I don't know. Just something about it. Nah.
Well, you don't like romance, Charles. You've established that. Like, you have no love in your heart.
After John Cusack in the jukebox, how can you get – or boombox. How can you get – he holds a jukebox over his head. John Cusack as the Hulk holding the jukebox over his head.
Me impressed woman with Mikey
Smash. Smash.
I feel like that's when the dad looks out the window and is like, she's yours. you own her now. I'm not going to dispute you. If you can lift a jukebox over your head, you win.
So I need to – it's not a huge twist because you already know what we announced earlier in the show about Captain Pike being cast. So I did. I hate it, and I'd love for you – we can do it off there. It doesn't matter, but I'd love for you to watch that final episode to see what you think, because the whole beauty for me of this whole season was it's messy, it's dirty, it's something you don't see in Star Trek at all. And it didn't touch anything. Yeah, no. It didn't touch the Enterprise. It didn't touch any of that shit. Because that's all we've ever known. I'm not like, I don't hate on Enterprise, but it's like, it's all we've ever known is everything is based around the Enterprise. And it was
not everything. Whole, I mean,
another
Voyager.
Yeah, but it started with Enterprise. DS9 absolutely started with the Enterprise.
But no.
Started Voyager. Everything is tied.
No.
They touch
them together for as a little nod. But
that's how babies are made, Paul. Okay, it happens quickly and easily.
Those two shows have nothing to do.
I'm just saying. I enjoyed that this was just a whole different part of the universe that we've never seen. And then, and Paul, you can take off your headphones if you want. But I don't think it's going to spoil that much because we already know Pike's been cast. The last 5 minutes of the movie, all of a sudden everything's wrapped up in a bow, which made me, I just was irritated. I was like, don't wrap up every single fucking storyline in this mess of a universe in a nice tidy bow and it's all done. And why? Unless you're just not going to do another series. Don't do that. And then, bloop, 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 bloop. Oh, there's a distress signal, Captain. We can't make it out. Bloop, 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 bloop. As soon as it started to come out of the fucking storm, like, motherfuckers running Enterprise. God damn it. I was so mad. It's Captain Pike. I'm like,
Charles, stop. I can only get so erect.
I was so fucking mad. Like, are you shitting me? You went through a whole season. And you're like, oh, but we can't do it. And I'm sure it'll actually be good. But that moment, I'm like, just fucking kill me now. I was so mad. I'm done.
So this segment was about Charles ranting about Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah.
Soapbox Charles.
Pretty much.
I'm going to watch it now. Well, here's the thing. I actually have all 15 episodes on a flash drive that my father-in-law gave me back in February. And I've just been shitting around, watching baking shows and playing pirate games. But I'm ready to actually give it a try and see what everybody is loving. Because, I heard that they premiered the first two episodes back to back on television, but it was a trilogy of an episode, so like they really should have just put all three of them out. Because
the first episode was on TV, the second episode was on streaming only, and it was a duo. It was one whole show.
Okay, yeah.
Basic principle is right. Is they fucked over their audience with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did the bait and come pay thing. But yeah, no, the first two episodes are a unified prequel story to the rest of the season. Because there's a time jump after that. So, not a huge one, but a time jump.
I will try my best to get all of it watched by next.
It's binge worthy. I mean, I think you'll find once you get past the third episode, because the first two is like, yeah, it's weird, it's okay. But then you kind of get, once they hit that, what he's talking about, that little bit of time jump, and you're like, okay, I can feel it now, I see where they're going, and you just ride that ride, you'll probably knock them out pretty fast.
So, here's a question for you two. Me being somebody who has little exposure to Star Trek, is that going to benefit me or hurt me?
No, it'll benefit you all day long.
It'll actually help you because a lot of the disconnect for people with Discovery was that they're hardcore Trek fans that are unhappy that it's not classical Trek. You know what
it's
I mean?
Not clean and pure
and campy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's dark and gritty. It's kind of like
The Expanse.
I mean, there's that, but it's kind of the whole Chris BVS thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Just because I need another opportunity to bring it up.
Just another week.
Yeah,
we got to hit our quotas.
Yeah. No, but honestly, it's – and there's some validity to it in the fact that, you know, Chris doesn't really like the Snyder take on the DCEU because it's a darker, less hopeful, you know, more dire and pessimistic view. And that is absolutely present in Discovery, where typically the other Star Trek shows have always strived to be more hopeful and – try to appeal to our best version of humanity.
Sure.
And you know, obviously other races as well. But
which I get, that's what Roddenberry was showing, was what humanity could be, what we could.
But that's the thing though, is like that is still absolutely present in Discovery. You know, the people still hold those ideals in their heart.
Well, I mean, and set this stuff up. He hinted, I mean, one of the first Star Trek episodes, or maybe it was the pilot, honestly don't remember, where Pike is there in the wheelchair and speaking through the robot voice because Spock's on trial because of whatever happened, and we don't know. And it's this hinting of darkness in the past that we've overcome. And I think Gene set all this up. So I think it's very much in line with the universe he built. Yeah. And young Sarek is there, and that's okay. I actually liked him as young Sarek. He was cool.
I will try my best. If not, I will at least watch 3 to 4 episodes by next week.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
I'll probably watch one. Let's be honest. I'll watch half an episode before next week.
What do you do at the Apple Farm, man? How do you not have like a harmonica holder that has your phone in front of your face while you're picking apples so you can just watch your stuff? You do, and you don't even use it.
Yeah, no, this is for harmonicas, not telephones.
Tape your dick some duct tape. Dick some duct tape on
tape your dick to your harmonica stand. Absolutely.
Oh, my Lord. This is revolutionary.
I tell you, man.
I should do this when I drive.
Oh, shit. No.
Your name's not Chris Wisdom.
Exactly. No.
Fuck Chris, man. I hate that he does that shit. I really do. All right, as these Spice Girls once said, when 360 become one, we've got a lot of games from the 360 coming on to Xbox One with the backwards compatibility. And some of these, I wanted to bring them up to see what you guys thought about the games, your nostalgia, think if this is the kind of thing you'd be interested in. Of course, the headlines is the big ones. Morrowind, Knights of the Old Republic 2, Jade Empire are the headliners for these games that are coming to Xbox One. Blinks, the Time Sweeper, I remember being shit. Breakdown was okay for the time. Conker. Who doesn't want Conker Live and Reloaded? Which was what? N64 game originally?
No, that's Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, this okay.
Is, the sequel to that. Or the continuation.
Now, what about Elder Scrolls 3? That was highly regarded as one of the best Elder Scrolls games, right?
No.
I mean, it is. There's a lot of people who say Morrowind was the best. I don't agree with them.
Yeah. I mean, with Elder Scrolls, it's kind of like WoW expansions. Everybody's got their favorite, and they think they're right. Mm-hmm. So
Daggerfall, bitches.
Yeah.
Daggerfall.
Okay. It's Lich King. So.
No, I was talking about Elder Scrolls.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously, I've paid and played the most of Skyrim because they just keep re-releasing it and giving me different opportunities to play it. So,
I remember Jade Empire. I played a lot of Jade Empire, and at the time, I thought it was really great.
You would culturally appropriate like that.
Oh, my God. I hate you so much. SSX 3. was one of the best of those games.
That's one of the snowboarding games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the newest one that they put out on Xbox, I got for free, and it is a thumb burner. It just hurts to play that game. But I played that for a long time. Destroy All Humans, I read lots of great stuff at the time. I never played it. You guys played that one?
Oh, I remember that game.
Where it's you're the alien.
On the front? Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Panzer Elite Actions, a tank game. Well, it's only going to be in Europe anyway. Here we go, everybody. Star Wars Battlefront, Star Wars Battlefront 2, Star Wars Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy, Star Wars Jedi Fighter, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2, The Sith Lords, Star Wars Republic Commando, followed by Star Wars Who Gives a Shit.
Yeah, I mean, isn't every one of this title already on Steam?
Probably.
Yeah. And can't we just get them in a Steam bundle for, like, I don't know, $6.99? $50
every May 4th.
Yeah. So it's a little late to the game. I mean, they should be focusing more on their core element at Xbox. And I feel like right now, like, they're suffering from Nintendo syndrome, where they've got no games I want to play. Yeah. They got no games. Like, I own an Xbox.
Yeah.
And it is literally so my wife can watch Twitch as she plays video games in the basement. Like, there's nothing on that console, and there hasn't been on Xbox One that I give a shit about.
Yeah, because the games I'm thinking of, I could play cross-platform. What's interesting is, as you know, I got a PlayStation 4 for Christmas, and I mean, I'm a huge Xbox guy. I mean, I just like the controller. It's what I've had forever, possibly because it was cheaper than the PlayStation, easier to get into. But none of the games I play are Xbox exclusives. You know, the ones XCOM 2, yeah, I played and beat, but that was on both platforms. Lara Croft and the Rise of the Tomb Raider was on multiple platforms. I just picked up, Doom. Yeah, I picked that up because I could only find it for PS4, though. But I find, like, Destiny, even though these games are on other consoles, I'm like, I really enjoy picking up that PlayStation controller and knocking out some Destiny or playing some Titanfall 2. And it's not specific to one console or the other, but ultimately my son had his birthday and got a lot of money. He's going to try to buy his Xbox One. Because, again, entry point, he could get into it easier. I'm like, hey, why don't you just save your money and take this my Xbox downstairs to the basement, and you can play your Fortnite and all that jazz. And because I realized I wasn't really playing my Xbox. Now, here's the thing. I'll always have an Xbox or some version of it, because here's the kicker with these games. I don't know what will come free or not with the free games with gold, but if you've ever owned one of these games and had it registered to your account, you'll get it for free when it hits the list.
Well, that's the thing, when it hits the list.
Well, no, I don't mean the games with gold, but, like, so April 26th, if I owned any of these Star Wars games, it will show up on my list of ready to download.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. But, I mean, it's fucking 4 years too late.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not arguing that at all.
So, I mean,
but I have a library of like 130 games I can play, you know, off of that, off of the years.
I have 400 games on Steam, and I've completed less than 10% of them.
Yes, we know you're the Phil of gaming. We understand this.
We can just call him Paul of gaming. We don't have to rope me into this.
No, you're the Paul of video watching.
But, I mean, you look at the Microsoft big title exclusives.
Halo,
Gears of War,
okay,
Forza, Crackdown.
Yeah,
What else do they have, you know, tied to now Sea of Thieves? But that's, I mean, I can play that on PC, so PUBG. It's not really. But PUBG's, I can play that
exclusive. I don't. Think
I can play that on PC and mobile now, even. Okay. So
yeah, that's right. They did do a mobile version.
Apparently, the mobile version is like the best version of that game too.
That's what I read.
My son's having fun with it on his tablet. I know that.
There you go.
That actually was what made him go, hey, I'd like to buy this from Xbox. But here's a little piece of advice for everybody when it comes to games. Is what I told him. It's like, hey, you're playing Fortnite, and it's free. And when a season starts, maybe you can put 20 or 30 bucks, whatever it is, to get the extra pass. And for that season, have it. But here's when it comes to games. What are you spending your money on, and what are you getting? If it's just to buy this game and play it just like Fortnite, well, are you going to get guns that are permanent? Are you going to get all this other stuff that's permanent? What are you getting? I use the class. I use the MAA tax as an example. I said, I would put, you know, $30 to $50 in a month into that game to support the people and get the gold. And then I'd wait till I could get a character unlocked, because the characters, until the game canceled, were permanent, right? They always stayed with you. The uniforms that changed how the game played stayed with you. I did not, however, buy weapons, because that shit changed every goddamn week on what weapon was good or not. You know, so I use that to help him out. It's like, you need to look up PUBG and see how it's different from Fortnite, because, like, now I'm going to tell him what you said, Paul, about just play Fortnite. You've already got it. It's free to play.
Fortnite's free to play, and yeah, go for it.
And there's something to be said about a hard reset every 30 or 60 days or however long the season is, you know?
Well, there's two games for Fortnite. There's Battle Royale, which is just like PUBG, and then there's Save the World, which is something you do have to buy into, and that is you just basically do missions and you do acquire stuff that you keep.
Well, maybe I'll get him to buy Save the World then, because I know we're not into that mode yet. Because I didn't know if it was a closed beta or how you got into it. I just knew we didn't have
it. It's still technically in early access, but, I mean, it's a complete game, essentially, at this point.
How much is it? Do you know?
I can look it up.
I was just curious.
I don't recall.
So, what game... Okay, let's do this out. From your past, what game, Phil, or Klaus, do you have a 3 or a 1 Xbox? It's just a PlayStation and Steam in your house?
I am not an Xbox man.
Okay.
My household for the last 15, no, actually forever, has always been a PlayStation PC household.
Well, then for you, it could be PlayStation. What game from your past, if it came to your console of choice, you went, holy shit, this is awesome?
Well, the thing is, pretty much all of those games have come to the PlayStation Store.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So, like, PlayStation 1 era Final Fantasies and even, like, stuff like Red Faction. Red Faction 2 on PlayStation 2, that's out. You know what I mean? A lot of the best games from back in the day have been ported. Almost all of them.
Is Metal Gear Solid on the PlayStation Network?
It should be. You believe so?
Interesting. Well, my most played game on the 360 that I'm still waiting for them to drop on their magical transfer list that will never actually happen is Castlevania Harmony of Despair.
Was that the one with Alucard?
Well, yeah, it was kind of set up as a loot grinder, like a Diablo or any other loot grinder.
Okay.
But they took levels from like Symphony of the Night and the original Castlevania and all these other historical maps throughout Castlevania and then just shrunk them down to like a 10 to 15 minute loot grind session. And you can play up to 4 players co-op and just run through these dungeons and everyone grind out loot. And it's on the PlayStation Network, but you have to buy into their $60 a month PlayStation play any old game you want service that they have.
Oh. Yeah, Xbox came to the table late on that one too. It keeps trying to go, hey, for $1 you get like 3 months to try. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah,
I really don't care about downloading whatever piece of shit you're shoveling and having access to it and paying you monthly for that, because I can just go buy a piece of shit and leave it in my disc holder for the rest of my life and play it whenever I want.
Yeah. And it's funny that we're actually talking about this, because I went on maybe a 5 to 10 minute rant about this on Toy Power, which comes out either this week or next week, about how there is none in the network of Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And it's annoying. It's absolutely asinine that I buy something on the Wii or the Wii U and I can't get it on the Switch. Or if I buy it on the DS and I get a new DS, well, tough titties. You can't just re-download it. You have to give them more money to then repurchase it. And it's just like, you know, Nintendo. You're a giant corporation. For once, just make a network that links together. I already have, you know, a network between the computer and my Switch, my DS and my computer. You know what I've purchased. Just link it together. So I don't have to fucking give you $10 every time I want to buy a game on a new console. It's horse shit.
Yeah, and that is the one upside to this article that, I mean, it's a point that I'd make is with Xbox, like I said, I mean, I'd bought and traded in so many games, and then all of a sudden, as they're becoming available on Xbox One, my list has gone from 5 to 10 games that I had available to download to over 130 now because I had them registered to my account. Like, I dig that. If I want to go back and play, I did. I wanted to go back and play Borderlands. I didn't have the disc, but I could put it on my Xbox 360, my son's Xbox 360 downstairs, my Xbox One upstairs, and we could play together because I bought it one time. I dug that. I like that they're doing that right. But I agree. I see what you guys are saying with the gaming is they are late to the game. And what's the exclusive? I remember the reason I ever bought my first Xbox ever was because son of a bitch. Chronicles of Riddick came out. Butcher's Bay. The Escape of from Butcher's Bay. And I went, I want that because I read every article on it. I'm a huge fan of that universe of the movies, the books. I'm hoping that they will finally come out with that third movie that they've been talking about for so long. But that whole Butcher's Bay story of seeing where he came from before the movie and the graphics at the time, the new shit they were doing with the graphics and the shading and hiding in the shadows, that got me to buy the Xbox itself. And then right after that, Ninja Gaiden came out. And, oh, fuck, that game is so hard. It's so good. And then I've been on Xbox ever since, really. I had a PS3 for about 2 weeks and gave it to my father because I just didn't care and didn't play it. Because it had Nathan Drake, which is awesome, but it just didn't hook me enough to keep the system. And God of War, which I was always a fan of. Then realizing my old age, I do not give a shit about button mashing, you know, and figuring out which one's circle and which one's X. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, I hate to figure out what things do.
Get off my porch, Paul Gutz.
Yeah, it's a shame because, like, I've been an Xbox person for the last, you know, to 12, 11 years. I was 11 years. And I'm not anymore. Like, it just sits in my basement and just collects sadness. You know, I bought my first Xbox.
It's like a video game dream catcher.
Well, yeah, but just tears. I got my first Xbox Elite right before Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare came out. And that game almost ended my marriage because I was putting more time and effort into getting prestige than I would, you know, at my now wife, you know, she would come over and I'd be like, yeah, you're just going to watch me play this for 8 hours. So, I hope you have fun.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because, you know, I've moved on and I have this, you know, nostalgia for that first time that I played, let's say Assassin's Creed, you know, the first week that came out or the first time I played BioShock.
Oh yes. Right?
That was monumental in my gaming history. And so, like, I'm just sad that they couldn't keep that magic going into my later years to the point where it's just like, well, I mean, PlayStation's got everything I need. PlayStation's got everything I want. The only game that I have for Xbox One is the Rare Replay. And it's the only reason I actually bought an Xbox because Rare came out with a disc of all their old games. Banjo-Kazooie, Perfect Dark, Conker's Bad Fur Day. And I, for some reason, when I bought it, made the decision that that game was worth $300.
What? Oh, because you bought...
Because I bought the console for it. And I played that...
Wow.
Twice.
$150 a shot. Best arcade ever.
God damn it.
I need to open an arcade.
Yeah. And then they've addressed, they being PlayStation, have addressed the controller issues for me. I found I really dig the PS4 controller. Even when I read about it, I was like, wow, this weird-ass touchpad in the middle. Totally got used to it very quickly. I like how most games implement it. I do not use it for the quick type. I hate that. Other than that, it works. And I gotta say, I'm a sucker for shiny. That fucking light that changes color on your controller, depending on what you're doing and what game. I dig the shit out of that. It's crazy stupid. And then, you know, it seems to be more common for people to have PlayStations now. When we randomly, like in a matter of 3 days, we put together a hangout to do Rocket League. We all had access to PlayStations and Rocket League. And we're able to, or at least an emulator, I guess. But we're able to all get together, get on the friends list, and we played the shit out of it. And not one of us went, well, I got Rocket League on Xbox, you know.
Well, one of us had to do an update for an hour and a half.
That is something, though. That is something I think Xbox wins at, is you don't have to do an update for an hour and a half with every fucking game that
you're buying. Talking about? Of course you do.
No, you know, not every game. There's some games, but there's plenty as I put in. It's like, yeah, no, it's good. Play it. But every game I buy, it doesn't do an update. It wants to install on the PlayStation for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. Then it wants to update.
That's because nobody's playing the Xbox game, so they don't have to do updates.
Maybe that's true. Maybe that's true.
I just print the disc and they're good.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll see, because the only reason I really purchased a PlayStation in the beginning was to play Spider-Man. And
the Beatbox one?
The one that comes out later on this year.
Oh, my God, right?
I bought it and said, you know what? This is something I'm gonna want to play. I know I'm going to want to play it. This will be different this time. It won't be like the Xbox one, and I play it twice. I swear, it'll be different.
You only played the other Spider-Man that Beatbox did? Twice?
No. I was talking about the Rare replay because I bought a console for a game.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, it looks beautiful, and I'm sure during E3 this year in June, we'll get even more of a look at it. Yeah. But if Microsoft doesn't come out swinging at this year's E3, I don't know how they can continuously keep the Xbox going and have it be profitable.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because you can't sustain yourself off of Halo and Gears of War.
Especially when both of those titles are like dead and not, don't have new iterations coming out.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I mean, that is something I have is, I think it happened to be the Xbox One I bought, or maybe, I don't know. Somehow I got the newest Gears of War that had the original Gears of War HD remastered. It had all of them. And I'd already beaten 1, 2, and 3. So I needed the one where it's the prequel and the new one. And then the remaster was just fun to play with all HD graphics and stuff. I love the shit out of Gears of War. Would I buy an Xbox just for it? No, not ever. You're not now anyway. I mean, I actually pirated the first game and played it on my PC. That's how I learned how to pirate back in the day. Shut up, Phil.
Shame.
Which is not something I would do now. Because
you're taking money out of Cliff's pockets.
Yeah, okay. One last question before we get out of here, just because we talked about it earlier, and I'm a little confused. We talked about Save the World on Fortnite. Is that Founders Pack? How the hell are you getting to Save the World? Because I'm looking it up. Everything I look at when it says Save the World is Founders Pack. And it does say Save the World will be free to play at some point in 2018. So I might just have them wait. I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm too old to play Fortnite.
Yeah, I don't get it, to be honest. I mean, I've watched it. I've played it a couple times. Like, it's a little too slow, yet twitchy at the same time for me.
I'm going to continuously play Pinochle and Bunko.
I was going to compare it to Titanfall 2, which you feel in control of everything. But, you know, you do that, old man.
I've played Fortnite. It's like any other game.
I disagree. It was just kind of slow to me. It was very...
Have you played it?
Yeah, I played Fortnite. Comparing it to Titanfall 2, where you and I play through, that is very much, I felt like I knew what I was doing. I could react. I can stay alive for a while. Fortnite was just like, hey, there's a guy. And, oh, I can't quite get around shooting fast enough. I don't know. It felt slow.
Well, because, Battle Royale's PvP. You're playing against other real people.
Now, I've not played Save the World. I haven't done that. I don't have access.
Yeah, Save the World is cooperative play. But
You know how much I love co-op play, man. Mm-hmm. I dig me some co-op play, tag teaming. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That is disgusting. See you next week, folks.
Tell everybody where they can find you on the webs, Phil.
Oh, if you want, you can follow me on Twitter at Imaginary Nomad, where I will just throw vomit about why Tom Waits is the greatest musician we have ever seen. I also guest spotted on another podcast about D&D called Adventure Incorporated. It just came out this week. I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun. They're friends of the show. Botch, that is. And like I said earlier, I was on Toy Power, and I believe that comes out either this week or next week, where we talk about toys that should have been the Mad Max collection that never came out in the 80s.
Awesome.
And one of those Australian guys, I mean, they're all the same, but one of them said, gave a universe, you know, a college course, you know, fucking 7-course meal on his dissertation of Mad Max toys, breaking it down to articulated bus parts and cannons, and it was impressive. That's all I can say. Wow. Go give it a listen. It's Toy Power, part of the Giant Size Team Up Network. Yes.
If I had to guess, I'm going to say that was Darren who did that.
Sure, yep. They're all the same to me.
We'll find out when it comes out.
They woke me up at 6:30 and then didn't bring me on till 7:45. Fuck you, Frank.
Yeah, that kind of happens sometimes.
That's all right. I had fun. It was a blast, so...
I also had fun when I was on their show. So yeah, good show.
I just listened to your episode today, Paul. It was really good.
Yeah.
Charles, you said that your favorite movie was what when you were on Toy Power?
I don't remember.
Pound Puppies.
Oh, no, that was my favorite movie. It was one of my favorite. They're like, your favorite toy when you were 10? I'm like, well, probably Pound Puppies when I was 10.
Well, they're floating around like, yo, this guy Charles
I know, right?
Is a Pound Puppy motherfucker. I've seen
every episode they have one of you guys on about Pound Puppies. There was nothing wrong with Pound Puppies, bitches. It was the shit when it came out.
And
My buddy Paul Klotz.
I didn't think that started back in the 40s.
and a shout out to our favorite Toy Power, alumni, because she's not actually on the show, but Mrs. Allen, who is also one of our favorite listeners of this show. You know, Frank, yeah, he's all right, but Mrs. Allen,
you got to stop trying to romance Mrs. Allen from afar, Charles. It's awkward and inappropriate.
Well, you know, anything I can do to when they finally get to come to Dragon Con, just to make it as awkward as possible, I'm going to do.
They are not coming to Dragon Con because of how fucking creepy.
Yeah, not
are.
This year.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't start. Yeah, let's spend thousands of dollars to fly to the States and meet Charles.
So he can cuckold my wife.
Wow, racist.
That's not what that means.
And cuckolding. That's what I do.
Okay. I thought you misunderstood what cuckold was for a second.
I know what it means.
I know all about cuckolding.
Paul, we're going to find you on the motherfucking web.
Please don't. But you can find me at SoapboxGSTU on Twitter. Oh, Jesus. You can find me posting memes of penguins holding machine guns on Facebook.
The dankest memes. The dankest memes. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off real quick, Paul. That one that you just posted of telling your parents you want to grow up to be Batman just made me shit.
Yeah, I'm a meme machine. I can't help it. So if you're friends with me on Facebook, you know. And if you're not, you got to know. But yeah, hit me up.
And you can find me, Rock Gunna Podcasting, across all the social media. You can find me on charlesmcfall.com, which ties to most of what I do in the internet. I don't quite have all the shows and different projects I work on, but you can find all that stuff there at charlesmcfall.com. And, you know, I think I'm the only person from the network to have an NPC in a Botch season twice. So, you know, I got that claim to fame. Don't even correct me, Phil, or you'll never be back on the show goddamn again.
Is that my way out of this fucking shit show?
It's too late, and it's too late to quit, so I muted you. So, until Christmas returns... We'll be back next week with some more awesome stuff, some awkward moments, and everything that you like to hear from us.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.